Through these 3 weeks, we have been trying to focus on really two parts of Scripture. One has been 1 Corinthians, 12th chapter, and part of it has been on Ephesians 4. One certainly talks about the body of Christ and all the gifts that are given to it, and Ephesians 4 also talks about gifts and the ways in which we are called to live as a community of faith. So again, I invite you to listen to hear these words from the 4th chapter of Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until all of us have come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children tossed to and fro, blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, or by the craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, through whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In week one, you're asked to hear Paul say, I beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And we looked at our gifts in the sense of what's God's unique calling upon you to live out your life for Christ. Last week, we talked about the purpose of all these gifts is to equip the saints, you, for the work of ministry that God calls us to as a community of faith. And what does that look like? And what does that mean? Now we hear this phrase later in this Ephesians 4 where Paul talks about speaking the truth in love so that the body may build itself up in love. Speaking the truth in love. Now at first blush, when you look at that, you think of, oh, I get it. We need to, when we tell somebody what they've done wrong and to reveal to them what they really need to know and understand, we just need to make sure we say it with love. That's not really what Paul's talking about. He's not trying to say you can use love as an excuse to lay upon others what you think they should be about in their lives. It's speaking about love and how it impacts the community of faith and how we live our lives. We need to speak the truth about love. What does love look like? How does it play itself out? Corinthians talks about us all being part of one body. And being part of one body, we all need to function together, not as individual parts, but together, unified. Unified in mission, unified in purpose, unified in witness. How can possibly the eye say, I have no need of the rest of you? Or certainly, if it's I alone, it can do very little. Or how can someone say, I have no need of you as a foot, yet we need you to transport us from one place to another? And yet others, we look at one another and we say, what part of the body might they be? What particular aspect do they play? And there are those who are very much the ears in which hear and discern God's will and hear the needs of the people and the community in which we live. And we need to pay attention to that which they hear, and what they've come to understand, as they may then inform us. There's certainly those of us as part of the body who are those who are the spokespersons, who can speak with eloquence and clarity, and we need them very, very much to do that very thing. They put together communications to share with the fellowship as well as those beyond. They're those who may speak on our behalf in important gatherings within the life of the church and the community in which we live. To be good spokespersons, to speak clearly, is essential for the health and life of the community of faith. For others, thank goodness they're skilled with their hands, because some of us are not. Heaven forbid anyone ask me to fix a plumbing problem. You're really going to regret that. One of the things I always told congregations is, one time I was told in a church, "We're having problems with the boiler. Can you help us?" I said, "No, I can't. I know nothing about your boiler. Matter of fact, I intend to not learn anything about your boiler because I'm only responsible for that which I know. And at this point, I know nothing." But there are those who do. Those with incredible gifts and abilities who can make things, fix things, construct things, design things. And thank goodness we've got those people with those talents and fingers and arms to do those while others of us do the things that God's called us to do. But the reality is that we cannot do without each other. And one of the key aspects of this speaking the truth about love is that we need one another. I need you. You need me. We need each other. Without one of you, we are not complete. We do not have all that we need to function as a healthy body, to be a healthy witness in our community, to be a health and mission agent to minister to people in need in the world in which we live. There are those who have the incredible ability to know how to care, to know how to do small things that touch the lives of others, and thank goodness they do it. Many of them do it in hidden ways that we do not see, but yet they are actively at work, touching the lives of others sensitively. We need them. We need them because there's times in our life when we may receive their compassion and love and caring. It may be a note, a kind act, a thought. Somehow they touch our lives, or we see them touch the lives of others in the community of faith, and it makes all the world a difference. Without them, what would we do? If we only had the hands who made things, we only had the voice to speak things, we only had the ears just to hear, we only had the feet to walk from place to place, we are all part and essential, Paul says, being part of the body of Christ. Each one of us is needed in our own way. What is your part of the body that you imagine, and what part do you play? There's another aspect of speaking about the truth and love, and that is the sense in which we need to do it with a sense of respect for all parts of the body. Now, I happen to believe that one of the most abused and disrespected parts of our bodies are our feet. We step on them and walk on them all the time. Yet we give them very little care and attention. Sometimes they need to be propped up and rested for a while. Sometimes they need to find some swirling water in which to stimulate and to heal them, or some Epsom salts to somehow minister to those aches and pains of a long day's labor. Respect. Respect is an understated thing in the life of the church. Do we respect one another for who we are and what we have to offer? If we're essential and needed in the body of Christ, then how can I respect your gift and to draw it out and to affirm you in it and to make a place for you? To understand that your place is as important as any other part of the body. Without you, we are less than who we can be. Do you ever think of that? You would be missed if you were not here for what you offer. What gifts and talents and times and energies you give, your attempt to live out your faith in concrete ways, without you we are less than who we can be. But we need to respect each other and what they have to offer. Sometimes I see in churches that respect doesn't always play itself out quite as well. We think more of ourselves and less of others. But no one's more important. Each of us is equally important in God's eyes. And besides needing you, I need to respect the fact that you are needed and you are important. And how can I treat you with respect? How can I speak to you kindly and about you kindly? You see, character, they say, is that which you show when no one else is looking. Respect is what you show when everyone is looking. How you treat one another in a day-to-day basis and incidental contact says a lot about who you are and a lot about how you see that other person. Well, there are people we have disagreements with, we may think differently about, but do we respect them as equals? Understand that they have their place and importance as well? And to thank them for being a part of this fellowship? You know, this church just went through a review of its roles. It's to be an annual event. It doesn't happen in all churches. It didn't happen in this church. It's been since September 11, that the church looked at its roles. And one of the things it's supposed to do is not find a way to reduce our numbers so we can save money on per capita. That's not what it's about. What it's about is saying, where are people in the life of the community of faith? And if they're not here, why are they not here? And how can we engage them to be a part of being here? They're part of the body of Christ. How do we engage them, welcome them, invite them, reaffirm them in the life and community of faith? We've gone through that process, and in the course of it, we were a church that was, quote, 247 members, but in actuality, we were really a church of 208 members. Well, that doesn't mean there are those who are not a part of us anymore and haven't been for a while. We've actually found other communities of faith, moved to other parts of the country, who are literally, their life has taken them somewhere else, and they are not just concerned at this time being part of this community of faith. There's others who declared and said, no, I definitely want to be a part of this church. And it afforded an opportunity for us to say, then what are ways in which you might be involved? What ways can you be engaged? We need you. We respect you for who you are. What can you provide? One of the things I discovered this week as I began to look through the big red book that has all the names of those in the book of life. And in it, it has a list of those who are listed as inactive members. I'm not sure what an inactive member is. Our denomination doesn't have an inactive member list anymore because either you're active or you're not active. You can't choose to be inactive. Call people up, write them and say, we know we haven't seen you for a while. Would you like to be off the roll or would you like to be listed as inactive? Oh, I'd love to be listed as inactive. And then I don't have to change a darn thing. So the denomination did away with the inactive list. And so one of the challenges for this church in the future is you have 117 people since all the way back in 1987 that are on your inactive list. Now, the responsibility in the past for that was, what are you doing to activate them, to engage in the life of ministry? I think I probably have an answer to that one, but I'm going to leave it for you to ponder. And to encourage leadership, deacons in session, to say, what are you going to do with those 117 people? Are you going to engage them? Or are they just truly lost? Or are there some people you need to make contact with and see how you can re-engage them in life ministry of this church? They are part of the body of Christ. You've identified them as such. To show respect, we need to give them our time and attention to say we miss you and we want you and we need you. It's a difficult task. But I bet if I read off some of those names, you'd go, really? There are numbers. It speaks to the sense of respect, of understanding the importance of one another, and making sure that everyone is plugged in the way they can be. See, because everybody's needed. So what is your role? How do we need you? How do you need us? How can you contribute? And I'm not talking money. I'm just talking contributions of your whole self to the life of this church. This church is not a large congregation, but it is a strong congregation who has a long history and has a bright future. But we need everyone to be a part of the game. So let's take advantage of it. If we have visitors who come in our midst, are they welcome? Are they encouraged to get to know us? Are we hoping to find out who they are? Not because we need them to do something to get us off the hook, but because they may offer a special gift that we don't have. that we may really need, and God sees we need, and God has led them to our doors because maybe they're the one who holds the key to something we haven't even contemplated yet. So, speaking the truth of love, we need to understand how we're needed and how we respect one another. Another part of it is sympathizing. Now, the way that Paul talks about it is, when one part of the body suffers, we all suffer. And one part of the body rejoices, we all rejoice. We're honored. We just celebrated the lives of two people who have had some connection with the life of this congregation in the past. One was Carly Ogut Miller, whose service took place early in this week. Also, Patricia Dunlap Means. Two people whose names may sound familiar, may be familiar to you, who've given in their life for a time a part of this congregation are now gone to join the others, the saints who've gone before us. But for those who have lost these loved ones, we celebrate their life and treasure them, and we minister to those who are experiencing loss. We visit people in the hospital because they have a need for companionship and friendship and support. We send notes and make phone calls to people because we haven't seen you for a while and we're wanting to make sure he's okay. I always laugh when I tend to make phone calls in the life of the church, and I'll call people just out of the blue. And I'll say, well, hi. I said, hi, how are you doing? Fine. What do you want? I don't want anything. I'm just calling because I thought about you. I was kind of going through and I recognize your name, and I just wanted to see how you're doing. So, how are you doing? I'm doing fine. Things are good. So, why'd you call? Sometimes people don't believe that you can just call because you thought of someone. When you look around the sanctuary on any given Sunday, are there people who you've seen but now you don't see? Do you understand that the responsibility to follow up on those people is whose? Yours. Oh, no, Pastor, it's yours to do. Oh, I do my share as well. But we as a community of faith care for one another. And so if you haven't seen somebody in a while, it'd be helpful to call and check them out. You might surprise them as well as yourself to discover what's going on in their life. They may have some need we didn't know about that we can now find a way to respond to. Or they just love to share that life has taken this course for a few months and you know, they're going to be back. It's just life has had its own demands in its own way. But for them to know you care about them when they suffer, when they're concerned, and when they're celebrating is a grand thing. In a couple of weeks, we're going to celebrate graduates. It's a great thing to do. Today, we celebrate the gift of Renee's in our midst. When one part of the body suffers, we all suffer. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. When one is honored, we are all honored. That is what we are to be about with one another. We are to be involved in each other's lives enough to be concerned. Because you are a small congregation, you are afforded the gift to know each other. Now, sometimes we get to know each other and there's some things we don't like about them, and they don't particularly are dear to us. But yet they are part of the body of Christ, judged by God to be one of us, and we are to love and care for them in any way we can as they care for us as well. And how do we make sure that continues to happen? How do we make sure we keep track of all these good folks that are part of this community of faith? There are 208 members, 117 on an inactive roll. In my calculations, that's over 300 people who the responsibility of all of us to care for is us. And for us to invite and challenge them to care for us, to be engaged in one of the church. Take advantage of the fact that you're small. Take advantage of the fact you can get to know each other in a very deep way and celebrate that fact. Paul affirms both in Corinthians, his letter to the church of Corinth, and in Ephesus, that we are given the gift of the body. The body that if we speak about love in truth and action, we nurture the body of Christ to maturity, to full witness, until we grow and expand and give witness and glory to God with our lives as individuals and as a community of faith. Paul has said, I beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. You've all been gifts, given gifts. Equip the saints for the work of the ministry God calls us to together. And speak the truth about and in love in all that you say and do. And know God will bless you all.